On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Adam Knoll of the Texas Rangers organization. Adam, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Currently, I am, like Chris said, with the Texas Rangers, going on 3 years now with the Rangers. This past season, I was the head strength and conditioning coach with the Hickory Crawdads, the low-A affiliate in the Sal League.
Sweet. So before that, you were in rookie ball, right? The last 2 years?
Yes.
Okay. So
yeah, correct. So when I got hired on, I was just finishing grad school at San Jose State and was lucky enough to transition with the Rangers. And I got a position working rookie ball out here in Arizona for 2 years.
Okay. So most of our listeners will probably already know this, but some of the listeners who are new to baseball or who don't know the lay of the land, can you tell the differences between working the rookie ball setting and working at a traveling affiliate like you did in Hickory?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we talked about schedule, travel, facilities, and, you know, with all three of those, man, there's huge differences. Obviously with rookie ball, it's awesome. You know, it really is, because it's kind of like college, and that's kind of what I was used to, because I went to, I interned at UCLA and I was a graduate assistant at San Jose State. So working rookie ball was kind of a nice and smooth transition. You know, you get to the schedule is so fixed. You know what time you're going to practice. You know what time you're going to have weights. You know what time you're going to play the game. Every game's at 7 o'clock. So the schedule and everything you do is consistent from day in and day out. So for me, like off the bat, that already makes it pretty easy to periodize and put together an in-season program. On top of that, too, you get to use the same exact facility every single day. And that's awesome even for us, because I remember my first year, we were under renovation during my rookie ball, so I had to make a lot of adjustments. But my second year in 2016, we had this brand new, beautiful facility that you got to utilize and see. And, you know, just the amount of space and equipment, specialty bars, specialty equipment, cable machines, outside turf, you know, huge conditioning field. It makes my life so much easier, right? It's so easy to program, and we can put together a really, really effective program for our new rookies and younger Latin players, and even our younger American players. Being on the road now, or being at an affiliate, that requires a lot more challenges, because it's just a game of adjustments, as you know, being at an affiliate. That's all it is. You know, nothing's consistent. Nothing's the same. Your time of when you are going to play that night could be 7 o'clock, could be 6 o'clock, could be 5 o'clock. You know, what time you practice? Are you hitting cages? Are you going to take BP on the field? So all that changes. But being at an affiliate, being with the Hickory Crawdads and being with the Rangers was awesome, because we had a really, really nice weight room at our affiliate. So right there off the bat made my life easier. We had everything from squat racks to, you know, dumbbells, kettlebells, trap bars, bumper plates, cable machines. So, you know, off the bat, that already made my life a little bit easier and kind of similar to how it was in rookie ball. But the biggest change is obviously is being on the road, because you don't know what you're going to get. You know, you have day games, you have early games, and you have getaway games where, you know, you may not be able to train guys. You know, you may be on a 3-game set, and you may not be able to train anyone at a road gym. Right, there's the adjustment of, okay, well, I've got to be creative enough to do more field workouts, especially with our starting pitchers and relievers. So that's a huge adjustment. Even for me, being that this was my first year in the Sal League, and even being at an affiliate in general, I had no idea what any of these road gyms had in terms of specialty equipment. And then what's it going to be like when we go to these gyms? How crowded are these gyms? You know, are we going to be able to utilize all the equipment that they have? And you know, in a timely manner. Because obviously, when you're on the road, you're just on time constraints all day. You know, when you're going to go to the going to the field. So it's just a game of adjustments, man. And you know, if you're a creative strength coach and you've got a large exercise tool bag and you come prepared, you pack your weight room trunk accordingly, you know, you're going to be prepared and you're going to be fine. And you can be creative and you can put together workouts and, you know, you could still get a great workout on the field with a kettlebell, with an exercise band, a mini band, and you can still crush dudes and get the same exact stimulus that you would have had as, you know, if you were in a weight room. You know, is it ideal? No, but there's no excuse to not get a great workout on the field and make these game of adjustments okay.
Yeah, a couple of things there. First, you guys do have an unbelievable facility in Surprise. It's awesome. Yeah. Second,
we're pretty lucky.
Yeah, oh yeah, you guys have a really, really good spot there. And then second, I think just kind of going off of what you said, you're limited by your creativity at an affiliate. And sometimes you have to be creative, right? The giveaway days and like the show and goes for me are personally the worst because we have like an hour and a half to 2 hours before the game and you've got guys running around like, all right, let's get out of the trunk. Let's do this, 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 this.
Yep. Yep.
And the manager's like, we're just going to play. It's like, I got a lot of things to do. So I know exactly where you're coming from there. So I got an interesting question for you. What do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
I don't know if it's maybe strength coaches that are crazy for what I believe in, or maybe it's other, you know, just baseball staff in general, or maybe the old school staff or people that have been in baseball for a long time. You know, I'm a big believer that you should still lift something heavy and something fast in July, in August, you know, and even maybe going into a little bit of September. You know, I truly believe you can lift heavy and fast towards the end of the season. You know, there's no reason why you can't do triples, doubles, and singles, you know, or doing some type of plyometrics, upper, lower body towards the end of the season. And as we know, like the biggest factor in terms of like fatigue, if that's the main reason, or you're going to see guys being sluggish or, like I said, you know, causing fatigue, it's more because of volume seems to be the biggest issue. So, you know, why can't you do, you know, work up to a heavy single? Why can't you do two singles or two doubles, two heavy doubles at the end of the season? Now, all relative, obviously, not, you know, we're not working 190%, but you know, we're still going to move a little bit of heavy weight, and I don't see any issue with that. You know, we got to be obviously make sure we're smart about position player wise because those guys take the most brunt of the physical activity out on the field. So you know, you got to be making sure that if a guy's played 100 games, okay, well maybe he won't go as heavy, but hey, there's no reason why he can't do something fast and explosive. You know, and kind of just potentiate those fast twitch motor units or we're just hitting that, you know, we're still stimulating the central nervous system. But again, it's all about huge reduction in volume while still keeping that intensity high, whether it's, again, lifting something heavy or lifting something fast. So I was grateful enough to have a coordinator, Napoleon Pichardo, who, you know, kind of pushed me to do that this season, which was awesome because it was like, you know, especially with our starting pitchers. It's let's keep these guys feeling strong, you know, let's keep the volume down. So I don't know if that's crazy, but, you know, I think that's a little bit, it's maybe not what they normally do in baseball. I don't know, but it's something that we kind of experimented with and we got great results from.
Yeah, like you said, it may not seem crazy to us, but just the way the game has been or whatever, or people who have been around for a while, I could definitely see that being a thought of as something crazy. So that's good, man. That's really
right.
Good.
Right.
You had good buy-in from the guys then doing that?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's kind of one of the things I put down was, hey, can you get buy-in? And that's the biggest thing. If that's the only way that's going to work if you do. We got great buy-in from our starting pitchers. And obviously it's a little easier with those guys because, you know, they get this, you know, if you get the 5 days off or whatever rotation, 4 days off to you know, in between their starts, you know, we got great buy-in from some of our designated hitters, you know, and a couple other guys. You know, some weren't as reluctant to do it. But, you know, hey, then I hit them with more, you know, especially our kind of fast twitch, kind of elastic, you know, outfielders. You know, I kind of like to hit those guys with some more speed work. Infielders, I would hit them with some more like agilities, change of direction. But we're still hitting the weights, man. I mean, we're not shying away from, you know, maybe it's not heavy squats because of the eccentric, but, you know, maybe we're pulling some heavy. You know, we know that like deadlifts don't cause as much fatigue as squats due to that eccentric portion of the movement. So, yeah, we're still pulling 315. We're still getting guys pulling 405. You know, we're still pulling, you know, heavy weights. But again, it's we did get some buy-in. But, you know, obviously with any team you have, some guys aren't and some guys are. But overall, it was pretty good.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's great. Buy-in is huge. And if you can get guys on board with it, you know, even in August, for us, you know, it's show them the program. Hey, this is the heavy day. We expect this out of you. And then we're going speed here. We expect this. So if you give them the expectations, I think the buy-in comes along with it. So you mentioned, you mentioned your outfielders and doing some speed work with them. And on the PBSCCS website, you have some articles on speed and acceleration. Do you want to talk about those a little bit? I'm going to include them in the link to the show as well, but you want to just kind of discuss those a little bit?
Absolutely. So we're pretty grateful with the Texas Rangers to have Gene Coleman, as you know, in his conditioning, you know, world of baseball that, you know, he's kind of like, I don't know if he's godfather, but, you know, he's one of the original guys, you know, to kind of start implementing strength and conditioning as a profession within baseball. And he comes out to our facility every spring training. And lately he's been trying to put together a lot of more speed protocols or acceleration protocols with on the website and pushing more articles. And he knew that lately for me in the past, you know, 2 to 3 years, speed training has kind of been something, a passion of mine, something I've just been gravitated toward. And I just kind of want to learn more about it because, you know, it's just something that was a weakness of mine. And I just, for like the last 2 years, have just been reading up on everything, watching videos, going to seminars, watching track and field guys. You know, so again, it was a passion of mine. So, you know, when him and I kind of collaborated and we kind of like, hey, like let's start to kind of put some stuff together. I didn't even know it at the time, but he was asking me, you know, for some acceleration progressions. And that was kind of the one that I took the most pride in because obviously I'm doing all the exercises. They may not be pretty, all of them. I'm not saying I'm the fastest guy at all, but you know, just from the stuff that I've gathered, it was what I believed in, and I'm still working towards a good foundational progression, you know, from doing wall drills, you know, starting off just getting the posture down to, okay, let's move the posture. Now let's push a sled. That's going to put us already in that 45 or 55 position or, you know, whatever you know, it may be. And learning what that feels like. And now we're moving forward. And then, hey, okay, now you're going to use a band. Now you're going to do marches. And now you're, okay, we're throwing in the arms, but we're still resisting. So we're still going to get that aggressive body angle and shin angles and what have you. And then, okay, now we're going to move to maybe we'll do hill sprints. You know, again, so we're still working on that incline. It's still putting us in that position. All right, now let's go back to the turf. Let's go back on a flat surface. And we're working to more specific body angles that we'll be doing on the field. Okay, so now let's go from a push-up position because, again, the push-up position kind of already puts us in that position when we first stand up and go. And then we'll just kind of work our way up to a standing two-point. And then finally, we'll go to the base stealing stance. You know, so every progression, you know, it's going from less central nervous system fatigue to more to higher central nervous system fatigue, to also, you know, higher complexity or lower complexity to higher complexity of movements. So, you know, that was something that we took a lot of pride in putting together, and you know, hopefully, you know, people are taking it, maybe not the whole thing, but chunks of it, and you know, utilizing it as a proper progression for acceleration and speed performance.
Are you progressing this based on certain amount of time or by what you see or sets and reps? How are you progressing guys through these steps, so to speak?
It definitely would be by what you see. You know what I mean? So you'd first put down like, hey, we're going to do this amount of sets and reps on the wall. All right. And that's just fixed. Okay. So we're going to do that. Everyone looks good. Great. All right. We're going to move to the sled now. And here's the fixed sets and reps that we're going to work at. But if you're starting to see guys that aren't doing it correctly, maybe they're still cycling during a sled march, then no, we're not going to progress to doing the next thing. Maybe it's the band resistor. Maybe we're going to go to the hill. Let's stay with the sled, you know, and let's perfect that. And then maybe if that's not even working, we go back to the wall with that guy. You know, maybe it takes a little bit of extra time even after a session, because I know it's tough to just to slow an entire group down. But, you know, maybe after the session, you just grab that guy and you work a little bit of extra reps. Maybe you get him back on the wall. And then from there, okay, let's see where you're at with the sled again. Great. You progressed. It looks good. So then next speed training session, you can pick back up with the rest of the group. So that's kind of how I see it. I think it's a complete individual basis. I don't think it's fair to hold an entire group back. But I also don't think it's fair for the athlete just to kind of keep progressing him, because what are you really trying to achieve and what are you really doing for him? You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of how I see it.
I think speed and progression through speed is definitely a visual thing. It's not a just check the box. Well, he did three sets of five, so he's ready to move
right.
to the next thing. It's definitely a big visual thing, and it seems like you know what you're looking for specifically,
right.
You know, technique-wise and cue-wise, how to help those guys. So, and when I was there in the Arizona Fall League, you did give me a book to read on speed. So I definitely, you definitely are a man of your word and are reading
yeah.
and doing everything that you can. So what do you believe makes a strength and conditioning coach successful?
Well, I think we touched on it. It's to me, you're successful if you get buy-in from your players. And, you know, your program is going to go as far as the players that you have.
Agreed.
You could be, I mean, you seriously, like, you can have the best program. If no one believes in it, if no one wants to do it, you're not going to get the effort that you want. And vice versa, you can have the worst training program, or maybe not fully optimal, but you get guys who are like all about it, who are full buy-in, man, you're going to see incredible results. You know, you're going to see incredible results. So to me, you're successful if you can get buy-in from your players. You know, the rest of the stuff in terms of testing or injury reduction, you know, obviously all those things play a role. But I just, those things are also really, really hard to measure whether you're a good strength coach or not. I just think a culture and a buy-in from players is what really sets strength coaches apart.
100%. 100% agree, man. Couldn't have said it better myself, to be honest. That's really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
So along those lines, what advice do you have for others in the field? Maybe for young people, young strength coaches who aren't quite, you know, into baseball yet, but maybe they're thinking
okay.
about getting in, or even older guys who have been around who just want to hear from younger guys what they have to say.
Well, you know, what I kind of was looking at this question, and you know, obviously networking is huge. We know that networking, getting out to seminars where there's other baseball strength coaches, you know, getting internships, working with baseball strength coaches. Maybe it's at a rookie ball affiliate. You know, you just get your foot in the door. I think those things are all important. I think those are kind of the obvious, I guess. One thing when I was thinking about this question was like, my biggest advice is to never limit your knowledge in strength and conditioning. I mean, there's like literally so many resources out there. It's absolutely insane. And like what I was talking about with speed training, it's like, I didn't know about it. I wasn't very good at it when I was teaching athletes, and I knew that. So like, I went out and I got like every single resource you can think of, and I'm still trying to get more resources on it because I still want to learn more. You know, and if there's anything you want to learn, literally, I was picking up Joel Jameson's book on energy system development. And that's one of the books I recommend highly, because Like, it was something like, okay, I want to know more about energy system development. I know I went to school for it, and I know the three energy systems, but there's more to that. You know, and if you want to learn anything, man, nutrition, powerlifting, weightlifting, speed training, anything that you can think of, man, like, don't ever, nobody should ever limit themselves on your knowledge of what you have right now. You know, maybe you don't have a powerlifting background, but why can't you go and learn the methods? You know, going to seminars. You know, maybe you don't, I don't have a weightlifting background either. Like, okay, that doesn't matter. Like, go out and learn it. Go out and seek the knowledge, because, man, there's so many freaking books, online videos, podcasts. It's insane, the technology now and what we have available to us in terms of what we can learn. It's incredible, man. So I know this quote. It's, if you never stop learning, you never stop growing. If you never stop learning, you never stop growing. So I think from a younger strength coach to, you know, even a guy who has been in the game and he's feeling stagnant and he's feeling like maybe he's a little burnt out, he's doing the same things and he's just not as passionate, dude, go learn something, man. Go learn something new and implement it. You know, so I think, you know, that's.
Yeah, in today's world, man, social media and technology, it's literally at, you know, just a click of your finger and it's there.
Seriously.
It's really
absolutely
that easy. And I mean, granted, there are, you know, you have to filter things, but
sure.
You know, you find your sources that you trust and
absolutely
you go to them, and hey, if you can read it, or like I've aligned myself with three very close friends of mine, one's powerlifting, one's strongman, and one's Olympic lifting. If I ever have a question about it, I can just go to them. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's literally out there. Like whatever, like you said, whatever you want to learn is there, and it's more accessible than ever. So I'm right there with you on that. That's really, really good advice.
Yeah. I think if you're passionate about, you know, learning and knowing more, like coordinators or other strength coaches, like they're going to gravitate toward you because they know, like, dude, you care and you want to get guys better and you want to get yourself better. So this is somebody that I want to invest in and work with, because this guy is like so passionate about what he does. And in terms of everything from physical development, like that in itself will help you get a position and get into whatever kind of strength and conditioning. Maybe it is baseball, you know, like nobody's asking you to have a baseball background, but dude, do you have a passion for your job, and do you have a passion for physical development? You know? So I think those things kind of just take care of themselves. And, you know, obviously if you get out there and network and whatnot, I think the rest of it just takes care of itself.
Yeah, for sure. This is a perfect transition into the next question. Where do you go for your continuing ed? Are you reading books? What seminars are you attending? What podcasts are you listening to? What do you got for
Absolutely. So right now I go to online. I'll just hit online real quick. Athletes Acceleration. They have a ton of really good online videos. I'm a big visual person. I love reading, but you know, the reading kind of helps me kind of solidify what to say, but the videos kind of help me in terms of what to see, you know, and how it should look. And so Athletes Acceleration, they have a ton of great videos and they have a wide range. They're not just speed training. You know, they have plyos, they have weightlifting, they have competitive games on there that you can download and look at. Exos, or formerly Athletes Performance, but Exos, they have a awesome online curriculum of a bunch of different videos as well in terms of speed training, acceleration. That's a great resource. Books. I go on Amazon. I order a ton of books every now and then. A couple, the heavy hitters, the ones that I kind of go back to, is the one obviously I gave you, James Smith, Applied Sprint Training. He also came out with another book, The Governing Dynamics of Coaching, which is a pretty big book. It has a lot to do with physics and his take on programming as a whole, as an entire organization, and less about just being a strength coach, but, you know, how can we work with an entire organization to optimize performance? Joe Kins, I'm going to botch the name, Coach's Strength Training Playbook by Joe Kins, is a book, again, that's just kind of laid a foundation for me in terms of in the weight room and how to categorize and periodize weight training programs. Like I said, Joel Jamison's Ultimate MMA Conditioning. Love the book. Really good. Heavy hitter, I think. Just explains conditioning and energy system development so well. It just made sense. You know, it made sense because there's so much out there on energy system development and conditioning that this was just so simplified, yet in a complex manner. Clinics to attend. Man, I've been so wrapped up that I haven't been able to make it to a lot of clinics. But I remember going to a hammer strength clinic up in Stanford, and I just remember that they did a really good job in terms of getting strength coaches that are currently in the field doing big things. I enjoyed, you know, kind of the people that talked there and the people that went to the clinics, the hands-on experience that you kind of got, the networking possibilities there. And I know that Hammer Strength does clinics all across the nation. So, you know, those are great. I haven't been, but I want to go. Summer Strong. They hold it in Lexington, South Carolina. And that just looks like an awesome seminar that I've been wanting to go to. I don't know if you've been. Have you been?
No, I haven't been.
No, man. I mean, but it just looks like a great seminar, man. I know it's on my list too, man. They just seem like they have a bunch of heavy hitters every year, and it looks like a great opportunity. Podcast. I actually got to meet him. I went to an Altus, which is a kind of like a track and field organization. They train athletes out here in Phoenix. They have a awesome mentorship that I went to, but podcast wise, I got to meet this guy named Robbie Burke, and he has a podcast called All Things Strength and Wellness. All Things Strength and Wellness. And Robbie and I, we got to connect during that Altus mentorship, and he does a really good job in terms of the questions he asks and his preparation with the people that he's going to talk with. Yeah. All Things Strength and Wellness by Robbie Burke. And he does a really, really good job. Again, I think the big thing with podcasts is if you're asking good questions, you know, you're preparing and, you're challenging kind of the people that you're going to talk to. So he does a really, really good job with that. And he gets some pretty heavy hitters on there as well.
Yeah. You that know, one some, popped some big up time on strength my, coaches. My podcast search the other day, so I'll have to download it.
Okay.
I saw it. I definitely, didn't download it, but now that you've said it, I'll get on it right away.
So. Yeah. Definitely, man. Definitely. He does a good job. Really good job.
Well, that's a lot of good stuff, man. A lot of good things there. And, I mean, Joe Ken and Joel Jamison, those are two of the guys that I always go back to reading. So,
right.
I'm on board with all that stuff. So, you've been killing it. I'd like to do a lightning round.
Let's do it, baby. About that? Cool. Let's do it, man.
All right. So first question, who was your biggest influence in the strength and conditioning field?
Biggest influence, man. You know, that's a great question, man. You know, because I've worked with a lot of guys in strength and conditioning, and I've also, you know, online-wise, there's guys that have kind of helped me and created a big influence. You know, obviously Coach Lynn at UCLA, he was my director when I interned there, and he kind of helped start this thing for me in terms of getting really into strength and conditioning and understanding programming and periodization. Then I went to, you know, San Jose State, and I had Coach Uribe and a handful of other strength coaches there, Taylor Johnson, Mike Nicolini, and just a handful of young strength coaches there that inspired me and really challenged me to be better. And then after that was kind of over, I've really gravitated to this guy, and we've only talked and communicated a couple of times. His name is Derek Hansen. And in Derek Hansen, I've downloaded almost all of his videos. And for me, he has had right now by far, In terms of the last 2 to 3 years, Derek Hansen has had one of the biggest influences on me in the strength and conditioning, because he's a track and field guy. He worked with Charlie Francis, and I have a bunch of Charlie Francis stuff, and I implement vertical integration as much as I possibly can. And so he utilizes a lot of his stuff, and he just he broke down speed training, and not even just speed training too, but agility training or whatever have you. He just broke it down in such a simple manner, but yet it was so highly effective. And he so far, and even in terms of periodization and programming and just making things, there's so much out there, like you said, and like I said, there's just so much information out there. You know, what is your system going to look like? What are your foundation? What are your beliefs? What's your philosophy? You know, and how can you simplify it so that it's not just all over the place? And I feel like watching Derek Hansen, listening to a lot of his videos, downloading his stuff, he's had a huge influence so far on me in terms of coaching my athletes and programming for whatever it may be. You know, so I'd say Derek Hansen, as of right now, you know, over the last 3 to 4 years, has had a pretty big impact on me.
Yeah, his name's starting to pop up a lot more, man. I've been reading a lot of his stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, the Charlie Francis connection there. I've read a lot of Charlie's stuff. So.
Right. I mean, he's just weird because, you know, he's up in Canada. He's at Simon Fraser University, and he's like not this like really well-known guy. I mean, he doesn't have a bunch of books. He tries to publish. You know, he's a little bit behind on the technology. Like, he's just getting a podcast. You know, he's just getting this Instagram stuff going on, and he just came out with a book. But you know, he's been on a lot of podcasts, and if you ever listen to him talk, man, he's great again at just making things really simple. You could tell he's just a great strength coach, man. I try to gravitate towards everything that he does. He's up there, man.
I agree.
He's up there.
Absolutely, I agree. Second question. If you could only train with one piece of equipment, what would it be?
Barbell.
Love it.
Barbell.
Love it.
It's got to be the barbell, man.
All right, third one. This trips people up a little bit. Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Professionally or personally? Well, I'll go professional. I think this last spring training, I was given the opportunity to take on the speed development program for our minor league position players, and put together an entire 6-week program. I think it, for me, was a great opportunity because it was like, hey man, this is yours and you get to own it. You know, you got however many minor league, you know, position players you have in your organization, and your goal is to get these guys all better and prepped and ready to go on to their affiliate. So for me, man, I took a lot of pride in that. It was an absolute honor to kind of be given, you know, that I've only been with this organization for 2 years and that my coordinator really felt strongly enough to hand that over to me. And looking back, I think we got a lot of great things accomplished. I think we were able to lay a foundation and a groundwork that I think from years on out, the speed training and it'll just continue to get better and better and better, you know. And I was also able to put together a format for the rest of our strength and conditioning coaches and put together a, you know, a quick 15-minute talk on the philosophy and the programming and the exercise progressions that we talked about earlier. So for me, man, like that personally, so far, I've gotten a lot of gratitude out of that.
It sounds really fulfilling, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, last one I got for you. If you could pick any career other than strength and conditioning, what would it be?
Oh, my gosh, man. Oh, these are good questions.
Thanks.
These are good. Gosh, man, other profession. It's weird, man, because you're just like, we're all just like, so like coaching, it's like been in my DNA. It's like been the like one thing, strength and conditioning. It's like ever since, you know, I got into, you know, undergrad, it was like, I already know what I'm going to do.
Yep.
I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to sell myself into it. And then you get into it. It's just a freaking roller coaster, man. You're like, you're got shutters. You're not even thinking about anything else that's even out there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, golly, man. I'm trying to think. It's just that's a great question. Other job that I would do other than strength conditioning. Because I don't even want to say like getting into PT or anything like that, because it's almost like you're kind of almost in the same yeah. the same field.
Yeah, it's cheating.
You know, you're doing kind of yeah, it's almost cheating, right? you know what, man? Honestly, I would love to be a professor. Teach, man.
Teach strength and conditioning.
I don't even know if that's still cheating, man. I know teaching a strength and conditioning course. It's just, you know, man, getting people better and like seeing that impact in coaching or teaching or whatever it may be, man. Like that's just, it's just so in my DNA, man. It's so like ingrained that it would just have to be something with that. I can't say like, oh, I would love to be, you know, a financial advisor. I just yeah. like, dude, I can't, like, I don't know, like a surf instructor or something like that, or, you know, cool, you know, a tour guide, you know, those would be things that'd be awesome, man. But, I don't know. I love teaching, man. I love learning and I love teaching. So, I don't know if I'd ever go get my doctorate degree. I don't know if I love teaching that much, you know, after, you know, maybe I want to move on from strength and conditioning at some point, but, I would definitely say, man, teaching.
Yeah, I tell my wife all the time that I literally don't know how to do anything else other than just just coach. Like yeah. you said, it's in our DNA just to try to help people as much as we can and try to have an impact yeah. on others' lives. So
right,
that's I'm all for that. And teaching a strength and conditioning class works. But it's been fun, man. We've exactly, been having a man. Blast. It's been really yeah, good. Man. A lot of good stuff. If the listeners want to get in touch with you, where can we learn more from you? You on social media or what do you got?
Yeah. Well, I'm on Twitter, but I really don't use my Twitter at all. Like I think I posted like maybe two or three things on there. If you really want to connect, I guess the best way would be Instagram. Coach Adam Knoll. It might be Coach Adam Knoll. Jeez, man. Let me double check to make sure I get my handles right, man. Jeez. Coach Knoll 18. Coach Knoll 18. That's what it is. Coach Knoll 18. Instagram handle. If they want to add me, message me on there. Coach Knoll 18. That'd be the best. And I mean, if you want my email, always, you know, I'm aknoll@texasrangers.com.
Sorry, just writing this down.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, man. Well, it's been a lot of
yeah,
fun.
Man.
Appreciate you taking some time out of your day and
absolutely.
And talking shop.
Pleasure, man. It's a pleasure, man. I think what you're doing and getting you know, there's so many great minor league strength and conditioning coaches out there, man. You know, we meet them every single day working at our affiliates. That, you know, what you're doing right now, creating a platform for these guys, because there's so many younger or, you know, our age or guys that are coming up that have, I'm not even saying for me, man, I'm saying for other guys out there, there's so many good strength coaches out there and creating a platform for those guys. Cause you know, major league strength coaches, they're going to get their publicity. You know, we all know who they are. You know, you can hear them on so many other platforms, but man, this right here, this is great, man. So I appreciate it big time.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that. Thanks for coming on and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, brother. Sounds good.
All right, man.
All right, everybody. That concludes this episode with Adam. I hope you enjoyed this one. He shared a lot of good information about his speed progression that he has used and has had success with. Three things that I took from Adam: attack your weaknesses, simplify your systems, and never limit your knowledge. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this one, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.